This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Michigan's unemployment computer system, is it saving money, streamlining the unemployment process, and rooting out unemployment fraud? Well, that's what state officials say about the computer system that's been handling unemployment claims in Michigan since late 2013. But a mounting chorus of critics say this system called MIDAS is brutalizing people who've been mistakenly accused by the state of collecting more unemployment benefits than they're entitled to, that this automated, business-like approach means there's no human being for them to talk to, and lives are being ruined because of mistakes being made by a computer software system. Steve Gray is with us now. He's a law professor at the University of Michigan and the general manager of the Michigan Unemployment Insurance Project. It's a nonprofit that helps Michigan workers who have unemployment issues. Welcome to the program, Steve. Good to have you with us.
So thank you.
This software program has been in place since October 2013, got a green light by Governor Snyder, and the goal is to detect and crack down on unemployment fraud. What system did MIDAS replace?
They replaced human adjudicators with a computer, which is good in and of itself. We like things to be more efficient. And I think we're also interested in trying to detect fraud. Fraud is bad for everyone. But as a result of trying to catch people that have committed fraud, we've cast too big a net, and we're catching so many more people that actually are innocent and innocently received benefits and did nothing to warrant a fraud determination.
All right, so let's walk through the process of this. I've been laid off, or my contracted employment ends, so I file for unemployment benefits to tide me over as I look for another job. How am I interacting with MIDAS?
So there's two ways that you can do it, actually. You can actually still call and talk to a person to file your application, or you can apply online. And so there's a series of questions that you answer, and usually the answers are already sort of pre-selected for you.
So no place for you to type in other.
Right, okay. Exactly. There's really not a place for you to sort of explain what the situation is. You have to sort of pick one of the answers. And whether you do it with a person on the phone or whether you do it online, those answers go into a database. Then your employer is notified that you've applied for unemployment benefits. And in Michigan, employers are allowed to contest your eligibility for unemployment. The reason for that is that the unemployment system is funded, for the most part, from a tax on employers. And so the more people that they have receiving unemployment benefits, the more tax that they're going to pay.
Got it.
So they're sent a questionnaire at the same time notifying them that you've applied for unemployment. One of the questions that they ask in a typical case is, what was the reason for their separation? And there's three options to choose from. Were you fired? Did you quit? Or were you laid off? And you pick one answer. If your employer picks a different answer, the red flag goes up in the computer system. It's then flagged as a potential fraud case.
Okay.
Just because there's two different answers. Now, one of the problems with the way the computer system is programmed is it assumes that the potential fraud there is only on behalf of the claimant.
So it just jumps right on the person who's unemployed.
Yes. The system presumes that if there are two different answers, it must be the claimant that's wrong. Mm. So they then send out a questionnaire as soon as it's flagged, the computer does. And the questionnaire asks some questions that actually really aren't that helpful in having you explain what your situation is. And you have 10 days to respond. If the system does not register a response within 10 days, it automatically finds that somebody has committed fraud. So without really any evidence other than the two different answers in the database, they've got a fraud determination that comes out.
And then what happens? Let's say that happens to me. Maybe I didn't see the question, the letter. I didn't get the answer back. They say fraud. Then what?
If you're one of the lucky ones, you actually do get the notice that says that you committed fraud. A lot of people that have been off of benefits when they're making these decisions, so they've drawn all the benefits that they were eligible for. They went back to work. And so they don't have any connection with the unemployment system anymore.
Yeah.
They don't get the notice, right? And so as soon as 30 days has passed from that notice and there's no appeal, it automatically goes into collection. And that's where bad things start happening. So they immediately start getting Dunning letters. And puzzlingly, we're seeing lots of people that actually get the Dunning letters. They get the letters that say, you owe us money, but they never have received the determinations. So the determinations somehow don't make it to them, but they're able to find them with the Dunning letters, which we're not sure exactly why that is.
Okay.
But so they get a Dunning letter and they're like, I have no idea what this is about. Or sometimes they don't even get a Dunning letter. The first time they ever even hear about it is when they've had their tax return garnished or when they've had their wages garnished. So we have a client that we just represented at a hearing who had been off benefits for over 2 years. And the system had found some difference between what they said the employer reported his income was and what income he reported to the agency.
That throws a flag on the play right away.
Right, exactly. Yeah, and so the first time he had heard about it, he never received the determination, he never received the questionnaire. First time he heard about it was when he got a notice from his employer saying the agency is garnishing your wages.
Wow. And it sounds like the issue is there's no human being for them to be able to appeal to. In a sense, it's the software system that's made all of this happen.
Right. That's part of the problem. The system was created with, I think, the right intentions. But the way that it's currently programmed, it presumes that people commit fraud, and it doesn't give people a really good opportunity to explain what happened or try to get to the bottom of what happened. I don't want to put all of it on the system. You know, I mean, I think they can make some changes to the system and they start to bring in real live claims adjudicators that can look at the situation. They can talk to both sides and say, you know, find out what happened. But there's also sort of in the system, based on changes in the law, this sort of presupposition that people that are applying for unemployment benefits are not doing it for the right reasons or are trying to scam the system, when in reality, 2-3% of benefits are paid out as a result of fraud.
So when you take something, unemployment, that was created to help people in a time of need, losing their jobs, and instead it's kind of this feeling you're trying to get one over on us.
Right.
Is how that seems to be coming across.
It's what I call legislation by anecdote. Hmm. Everybody has one person that they know that they feel like shouldn't be getting unemployment benefits. But that's an anecdote. That's one person. I can give you 500 anecdotes of people that come into my office every year that are desperate because they lost their job. I mean, losing your job is like a punch in the gut. People are worried about losing their house. It's a very stressful time. When we started our office in 2010, shortly after, based on the number of calls that we were getting, we started to make referrals to the suicide prevention line because people get pretty desperate, and especially if they're not able to get their unemployment benefits and they're out of work and they're not able to find a job.
But I can only imagine when you think you've played by the rules and done everything right, and then there's some hiccup that you don't even know about, and suddenly someone I know got one of these letters and said it's absolutely terrifying. It talks about prison time and fines. Do we know how much money that Midas has helped recover in all of this since it went up October 2013?
I don't have the number on how much they've assessed. I'd really like to see that, and we're working on trying to get that number. Mm-hmm. But we do know how much they've collected so far, $12 million in interest and penalties. And recently, that's more than doubled, so $26, $30 million. That's what they're collecting.
What does that tell you?
Lots and lots of people are getting charged, and my experience is that 90%+ of the people that are being charged are actually innocent. When these cases do finally appeal, if they do, and they get to a hearing in front of an administrative law judge, almost every case that I've seen is dismissed. They say that there's no evidence of fraud here, and half the time, the agency actually will come in and say, yeah, I don't see any evidence of fraud in this case. Okay, well, it would have been nice if you'd done that prior to us having to get to a hearing.
Mm. And the letters and the stress that people
have. Right, exactly.
You and a fellow professor recently sent a report to the U.S. Department of Labor spelling out your concerns with this new system. What was your message to the Labor Department?
We just asked them to take a look at this. We understand there's been a focus nationally on sort of cracking down on fraud, which I think we all support. But an unintended consequence we feel like is happening in Michigan, the net that they're casting is much bigger and broader than what they need to. And so we asked them to look at this robo-fraud, we're calling it, phenomena.
When you say robo-fraud, meaning?
Fraud is determined by a computer as opposed to a human being, which we think violates our own statute. The statute basically says that cases are supposed to be decided by someone who's assigned by the agency to make decisions.
Okay.
Yeah. And then the other thing we're asking them to look at is this new system is generating multiple decisions or multiple determinations in each individual case. When before you would get one notice saying, here's why you're not eligible for unemployment, now you may be getting five notices saying, well, you're not eligible for this reason, you're not eligible for this reason, you're not eligible for this reason, and also you committed fraud for each of those three reasons. And we're concerned because, in part, the administrative dollars that come from the feds are based on the number of determinations that the agency issued.
Ah.
So we're worried that they're using the system to kick out determinations in order to pull down more federal dollars. Now, I'm all in favor of us bringing in as much federal money in the state of Michigan as we can. But the harm in this is that it's very confusing to claimants. They get notices that, you know, don't make sense. I just had a case in which one client got 30 notices of hearing for two different benefit years and very similar issues, but they, for some reason, broke it up in all these different notices, and it's hard to, for us to make even head nor tails of.
Let alone someone who's a civilian who is not skilled in legal matters.
Right.
Have you been able to have any kind of conversation with anyone at the Unemployment Insurance Agency in Lansing or anyone associated with the Midas system?
We attempted to. And I think because there was a federal lawsuit that was filed sort of challenging this, the agency now has clammed up about it.
Okay. So
we actually sent a copy of our report to the agency ahead of time and asked them if they wanted to talk with us about it, and we didn't hear a response. So.
Well, as far as help, if someone's been wrongly accused of collecting unemployment, they're not entitled, you know, the state says you weren't entitled for this. And I noted on your group's website, the Michigan Unemployment Insurance Project, you've had to stop taking new cases due to overwhelming demand. So what kind of help is there?
There's not a lot, to be honest with you, as far as representation goes. There's a state advocacy program that's funded from this contingency fund where the penalties and interest goes to, but their rules don't allow advocates to represent people if they've been accused of fraud. They could get representation just on a run-of-the-mill denial case, but they can't get representation if they're being accused of fraud. There's a few private attorneys out there, the Sugar Law Center in Detroit that represents a few people, and there's mainly our office. And so even though we've sort of closed intake, we're happy to have people call and try
guidance.
To get them connected. Yeah.
All right. And that is MIUI.org. What would you advise someone who's thinking of filing for unemployment?
Go into it with your eyes open. I hate to say don't apply for unemployment because you're going to get accused of fraud. I'm unwilling to go there, but I've had lots of clients say to me, if I would have known, I never would have applied for unemployment. I would have borrowed money from family members or whatever, you know, to get through this. But I'm unwilling to give up on the system at this point. I just think you need to go into it with your eyes open. And first of all, if you get a notice, then make sure that you respond within 30 days. And the other thing I would do, if you've experienced this problem where you've been accused of fraud when you didn't do anything wrong, then I would reach out to your legislator, because I think this is a systemic problem. There's a lawsuit pending trying to fix it. There's been the report to the Department of Labor to try to fix it. We've reached out to the agency to try to fix it. I think legislative interest would go a long way toward helping us get the attention of the Unemployment Insurance Agency.
Steve Gray is a law professor at the University of Michigan, and he's the general manager of the Michigan Unemployment Insurance Project. Steve, thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you so much for paying attention to this issue and bringing it to light and for having me here.